Now, if you will turn back to Acts chapter 7, which we read earlier, and you'll find my text in verse 60. Acts chapter 7 and verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Dear congregation, we consider here today the account of a faithful servant, a follower of Christ. He found himself in a deep valley, yet as we will consider this morning, he was supported by the Lord. Well, as we think of Stephen, who was martyred for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, what is he doing at this present time? Well, we can consider him in heaven at this very moment, in the presence of Jesus, in the presence of his Lord and Saviour, and he enjoys perfect peace. He knew trouble in the valley, but now he knows perfect peace in the haven above. For the believer, like it was for Stephen, Jesus is the end of the journey. And what a welcome awaits the believer in the haven of rest. And right at the outset of this sermon this morning, let me ask you, do you have that prospect before you? Eternity is before us, and how long is eternity? Do you have the prospect that at death you will be welcomed into heaven by Jesus Christ? How do we know? Well, it is if you, like Stephen, have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now we come in these verses to the account of the martyrdom of Stephen. Now if you go back through chapter 6 and also chapter 7, you'll see that Stephen found himself in great difficulty. He was accused of blasphemy against Moses and the Lord, chapter 6 and verse 11. And being accused, he was brought before the Jewish council and again falsely accused. Well, here in chapter 7, Stephen answers the charge against him. And he does so by recounting the history of Israel. After doing that, he afterwards reproves them from verse 51. Just notice that there, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, as your fathers did, so did ye." Well, this rebuke enraged them, and they were filled with such anger and hatred. And after hearing Stephen again speak of Jesus, they cast him out of the city and they stoned him. Now, it was a difficult valley that Stephen had to pass through, in which he would greatly suffer. Yet Stephen was aware it would be his last valley, and soon that he was going to see Jesus. Well, as we come to these things this morning, as we come to these words here before us, I'd like us to consider two things. First of all, in the valley, and then secondly, at the end of the valley. In the valley and at the end of the valley. Now let's turn to verse 59 as we consider, first of all this morning, in the valley. "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." As we have seen, he had already been falsely accused before the council. Afterwards, in a cruel way, he was handled out of the city, and then he was stoned to death. What a deep valley this was. What a painful and agonizing valley he faced. What an agonizing death at the end. Now consider, here were religious men stoning Stephen. They were thinking they were doing right, but how wrong they were. Now consider here that Stephen had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Well, now he was suffering for his sake. He was martyred. He bore witness to the truth in his death. He bore witness to the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was martyred. What a cruel death he faced. As we think of Stephen, since then there have been many who have been martyred for the faith. You only have to turn to Fox's book of martyrs and see all those who were martyred for the faith in early days. But even today, many are suffering and many have been martyred. In North Korea, which is the worst place in the world to be a Christian at this present time, many have disappeared. That's how it's put, isn't it? They disappeared. Many Christians, they were taken and they just disappeared. Many of them were martyred for the faith. So in China, so in Eritrea, so many have suffered for the faith. So many have faced such a cruel death. And we crave for such who are in prison at this time, for such who are facing execution for the sake of Christ. Now I pray that no one here or listening on has to face such a suffering that Stephen faced. But let's consider this morning, there is a cross to bear throughout our lives in following Jesus. There is a cross of sufferings, a cross of trial in following Jesus. There is a valley we must go through. Yes, at times we know the blessing of being in the green pastures, as we just sung in that 21st Psalm. And there's calm, but we also know the valleys of affliction, the valleys of disease and illness, the valleys of loneliness, the valleys also of persecution to some measure in following Christ. There is a cross to bear. It may be that the cross for you is laughter and ridicule in the workplace, the college or the school. People mock you. They laugh at you. There's that dry, cruel smile when you come into the room. And why? Because you're a Christian and you are humbly seeking to follow Jesus. People can be so unkind. There is that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ reminds us of that cross in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." In following Jesus, there is a cross to bear. We will be laughed at. We will be cold-shouldered for the sake of Jesus. For many of the Lord's people in certain places in this world, there's so much more they are suffering. In following Jesus, there is a cross to bear. How we need to submit. The Reverend John Brown of Haddington wrote, "Submit to it from love to Christ." Just pause this morning. Consider what Christ has done for your soul. Oh, what he suffered here upon earth. Such agony he was in. Oh, how he was treated in such a cruel way. Manhandled when he was arrested. Oh, what he faced out of love for you. Oh, submit then to the cross of suffering in love to Jesus. Oh, follow him. We will never suffer as much as what Christ suffered. We couldn't anyway. But oh, submit to the cross, the valley you will face in following Jesus. Suffering for the sake of Jesus. Well, let's just open this up a little more this morning as we think of suffering in the valley. Firstly, in the valley of affliction, it often proves to be a very difficult place where one is afflicted. They find trouble. In Psalm 116, verse 3, we read, "I found trouble and sorrow." And we enter that valley of trial for the sake of Christ, and there in that valley we are afflicted. As we've already thought, we find trouble and sorrow. One can know much upset. One can have a heavy heart. The mind can be so burdened. One can often be on the verge of tears in the valley. It's not easy, is it? One may find it hard to cope. There's that heaviness on the mind and sorrow in the heart. There seems to be that veil on the mind, that veil of heaviness, that fog that has come down. It's not easy. You're seeking to wait upon the Lord. You know the promise, and you remind the Lord of the promise that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And you're waiting, and you're looking, you're believing, you're in expectation, and you know you will receive. But oh, it can be hard as you think again of those who mock you. It's a valley of affliction, this valley of suffering. Oh, it can be so hard. Each day the sorrow can keep coming back to your heart, as it was for the psalmist in Psalm 13, verse 2, as he considered his enemies who were persecuting him. Psalm 13, verse 2, how long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? See the sorrow. He's been afflicted there in this valley of persecution. He's being mocked, and oh, he feels it, he feels. He's been afflicted in his heart. He faces sorrow. Leading on very closely, certainly in the valley, there's opposition. Just come with me to verse 54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him, that Stephen, with their teeth. Oh, what opposition. You read back through chapter 7 and chapter 6. Oh, how Stephen was opposed, and they were so unkind. It's not easy to be opposed, is it, for the sake of Jesus? The mocking, the teasing. I remember often that used to happen in school for me, and those of you in the school and the college, I remember you in prayer. I've been there. I remember how it was to be mocked simply because I went to church. Teased for having a Bible, teased for believing the truth. It may be difficult for you in the workplace. You know there is opposition. And then consider in the valley, Satan also moves in to oppose you. He whispers, he questions you in the ear. Is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? You're going to heaven, he may say. What's the point of suffering for Jesus? For standing up for the crown rights of the king? What's the point? He whispers in such a cruel way. Is it worth it? You can be so opposed in the valley. You can find yourself so harassed by the devil. It's a hard place to be in the valley of suffering, facing affliction and facing opposition for the sake of Jesus Christ. It can be a difficult place, and it can be a lonely place. And how one can feel alone. It may be for you, you're the only one in the class, the only one in the workplace. And you can feel lonely. It was a lonely place for Stephen, wasn't it? How he was on his own. Yes, others would have been praying, but here before the council, he's on his own. And when he's led out, he's there on his own. The lonely place, facing opposition. In Psalm 142, verse 4, we read, I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord, I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. See there, he was in that lonely place. He was in the valley of suffering, facing opposition, facing affliction. His soul was afflicted. He felt so lonely, but he looked to the one who could help him. Moving on, as we think of the valley of suffering this morning, in the valley, there is faith. In the valley, there is faith. And I trust all of you listening on this morning know this truth, that in the valley there is faith. But perhaps there is someone listening on, you're not a Christian. All of you would go to Jesus now. Yes, there is a cross to bear. in following Jesus, but oh, what a wonderful Saviour, who will save you. You will know the forgiveness of your sins. You will be accepted, and heaven will be before you, as we will consider later. Oh, go to him, that you might know faith in the valley. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we come to this point now, we fall to the opposition, we fall to the affliction, particularly on the mind and the heart in the valley. We fall to the lonely place, but what a blessing. For you, dear child of God, there is the prospect again and again of exercising faith in the valley. Come with me to verse 59. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He was stoned. What a painful experience. What a cruel end he was facing. But do you notice it there? He's looking. He's looking unto Jesus. That's what we're to do in the valley of suffering for the sake of Christ. That's what we're to do in every valley. We're to turn our eyes upon Jesus, however at times, and I'm sure you can identify with Peter this morning. We look at the wind which is boisterous, and we begin to sink. We've all been there, but oh, what a blessing. And all what we ought to do in the valley is look unto Jesus. Here's Stephen. He's in the final moment. And he's looking unto Jesus. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. He's looking. And just pause here. What a wonderful comfort this is. The valley may be long when we consider the last valley. And one may be unconscious. And one may be troubled. But here's evidence in light of Psalm 23 verse 4, which we heard sung this morning. Right at the end. For the child of God, there will be a looking. Loved ones looking over may not see this, but all we see here, the Lord draws near. There is the comfort of the word as we see in Psalm 23 verse 4, and there will be a looking. A looking unto Jesus by way of faith in the dying moment, and then one will see Jesus with the eyes of their soul in heaven, the moment after death. Well, here's faith, here is Stephen. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's looking. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's entrusting his soul to the Lord. Have you done that in an initial way? You've entrusted your soul to the Lord. Lord, I come. Forgive me my sin. I believe in thee. I entrust my soul, my life to thee. Here's Stephen at the point of death, on the verge of eternity. He entrusts his soul to his Saviour. Lord, receive my spirit. He believes as he did previously. The Lord was well for his soul. And as he already had, so he does here. He rests in the Lord. He entrusts his soul to the Lord. At death, God deals with the soul. For the believer, the Lord Jesus Christ will take the soul into his care, in his immediate presence. Just think of this. In the valley, he looks out to the believer. At death, he receives their soul into heaven, and then he continues to keep his eye on the body of the believer. Here's Stephen then. He's looking. He's exercising faith in the valley. Now you remember earlier, Stephen had been given a wonderful sight, as we read on earlier this morning in verse 55. But he being full of the Holy Ghost and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. What a vision. What a sight for Stephen. He saw the glory of God. Oh, it shows signs in heaven. Yes, we see it in this world, but oh, it so shines in heaven. And he saw the Lord in that vision of Jesus standing there. Verse 55. His faith was strengthened. He was encouraged. And we see how the Lord can encourages and strengthens one's faith in the valley. One can be struggling in the valley of persecution or in another valley of suffering, but then the Lord draws near, and in a precious way he strengthens one's faith. One can feel weak, and one can feel all too well the weakness of their faith, but then there comes this strengthening. This looking unto the Lord. Well, here's Stephen. He was encouraged, he was strengthened. And in the dying moments, he says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He's talking to the Lord in the valley. He's looking and he's talking. Or maybe afresh today, as you continue to live your life for the Lord, as you take up the cross daily, that you'll be looking to Jesus and talking. And in every valley of sorrow, that you will be helped to look and to talk. What a precious thing. To look unto Jesus in the valley and to talk unto Jesus in the valley. To entrust your life unto Jesus in the valley. You think of this pandemic that we still are passing through. We're thankful, aren't we? There's hope on the horizon. We give God the glory for that. But what a blessing it's been, isn't it? To be looking and talking. Well, as we come to the final part of this pandemic, let's keep looking unto Jesus. Let's exercise faith and let's be talking. We look, we consider, and then we talk. How blessed we are to look and to talk. Can you do it now? Just pause now. Look unto Jesus. Just think of him. And talk to him. Lord Jesus. His faith in the valley. Look to him in every situation you face. Look to him and trust him. One of old wrote, I am trusting thee to guide me. Thou alone shalt lead, every day an hour supplying all my need. I'm trusting. You see in the Psalms how often the psalmist declared to the Lord in prayer and also in song that he was trusting the Lord. Say it to him now. Lord, I look to thee. Yes, my faith may be weak, but I'm looking. Just a glimpse of thee by faith helps me. And I'm trusting thee. Here's Stephen. He's trusting the Lord. One may have a heavy heart. Satan may whisper, what hope have you in your situation? Look up. Lord Jesus. Go to your shepherd, Lord Jesus. Go to the King, Lord Jesus. Go to your friend, Lord Jesus. I am trusting thee. Exercise faith in the valley. His faith in the valley and in the last valley. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Trust him in life and trust him in death, knowing he will look out to you. If there's someone listening on you, you're not a believer, how are you going to get through that valley? I take great comfort this morning that my Saviour, who loved me and gave himself for me, is with me now. And he will look out to me in the valley. Even though I may struggle, he will look out to me in the valley. All will be well. Well, trust the Lord. Trust him. He knows what he's going to do. He will look out to you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean on the Lord in the darkness of the valley. Isaiah 50 verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and have no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. There's the darkness of affliction there. Not the darkness of unbelief or ignorance, no. It's the darkness of affliction, for there is a God-fearer going through the darkness. The darkness of affliction, trust. How apt it's described, isn't it, affliction at times? The dark. The darkness of affliction comes. And we can know a little darkness in the mind and in the soul. But when you feel the darkness coming, you trust in the Lord. Lean on the Lord. Oh, say to him, Lord Jesus, look, trust and talk to Jesus. Fourthly, in the valley there is the spirit of forgiveness. In the valley there is the spirit of forgiveness. Verse 60. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Now in this prayer, he mentions their sin to the Lord. The Lord knew what they had done, but here, Stephen, he mentions their sin to the Lord. This is what they've done wrong. They've sinned against thee, and they've done wrong to me. Stephen mentions their sin, but he does so in seeking that they would know forgiveness. You see, Stephen also has a forgiving spirit. Lay not this sin to their charge. Those religious men had so spoken against him, had so treated him in such a cruel way. There were those that had picked up the stones and hurled them at Stephen. Oh, he faced such pain, bodily pain, inward pain. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. We've all read of testimonies of those who have forgiven others, who have done them wrong. Here's an example for us. It's not easy. It's not easy to forgive. One can be really hurting. There can be pain within. The person has been so unkind. They've acted wrongly. They spake ill against you. It's not easy, is it? We need to be so careful that wrong doesn't arise in our hearts. We need to keep a watch because it can be so difficult. Yet remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 44, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What an example, what a testimony there. Remember our Lord said in the Pattern Prayer, which begins with those words, Our Father which art in heaven, in verse 4 we read, and forgive us our sins, of chapter 11 of Luke. For we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. You remember our Lord's example. Like Stephen, our Lord was facing death. It was fast approaching on the cross. What did he pray in Luke 23, verse 34? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What an example of mercy. What a testimony. Thomas Watson, the Puritan, wrote, he shed tears for those that shed his blood. He shed tears for those that shed his blood. And as I think of that, and I remember that because of my sin, he had to shed his blood upon Calvary, I am so thankful he prayed that prayer on the cross. Father, forgive them. He shed his precious blood for my sin. But consider Stephen, he's kneeling on the ground in such pain and agony. There's such upset in his soul. He's being assaulted by the evil one. But he asks for forgiveness. And you consider how that prayer was answered. Who was there? But just come with me to verse 58. And cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Saul was there. He later became the Apostle Paul, children. He was saved. He was forgiven. Later, Stephen's prayer was answered. The Lord heard. Oh, Stephen had a spirit of forgiveness in the valley. Let's seek to have likewise such a spirit. Fifthly, in the valley, there is support. In the valley, there is support. Come with me to verse 55. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He had this wonderful sight before he was stoned. Later he would say, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. He'd been so supported before he was stoned in that village, in that vision, that he was strengthened to so focus on Jesus in his dying moments after being stoned. How he was helped. how he was supported. And we see here clearly this wonderful truth: the Lord is there for his people. The Lord is there for his people. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, verse 55, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was comforted. He was encouraged. He was supported. Let me assure you this morning, dear child of God, the Lord is with you in the valley of suffering for his sake, in the valley of affliction, maybe loneliness, maybe trial with sickness or financial or something else. He's with his people. The Lord is there in the valley. In Isaiah 43 verse 2, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. He's there. In the waters, in the rivers, in the fires of affliction. You may be in such trial. You're struggling. There's the fires of affliction. The waters may be very deep, and the affliction, the suffering's coming right up to your head, and you feel it. But oh, the Lord is with you. You see, he will not send you alone into the valley. Yes, you may not have friends around you. They may not be able to get to you, but the Lord is there. He will help. He will strengthen you as you walk through the valley. Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. And you know, as we think of those promises there in Isaiah 41 verse 10, what's the first promise? It's his presence. What an encouragement that is. I am with thee. Therefore, we're led to be further encouraged in the other promises. I am thy God, I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And the Lord is saying to us there, and the Lord is saying to us here, do not fear. Yes, it may be hard, but I am with thee. You may feel the loneliness, but you're not really alone. I am with thee. I am thy God. I am with thee. I am there to comfort thee. I am there to strengthen thee, to help thee, to uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I'm aware of your weakness, so I've come to strengthen thee. I'm aware of your struggle, so I am there to help thee. I'm aware that you're sinking, so I am there to lift you up, to uphold you. The Lord will come. The Lord is there, and the Lord will assist. Many a Christian have found themselves in the dock before a judge. Well, think of a Christian there. They've been falsely accused like Stephen. Many have suffered for the sake of Christ in recent years. But there they are, they're in the dock before the judge, falsely accused. The Christian has his head down. He's downcast. He knows it's lies. But then he looks up to the gallery and he notices a friend. Oh, look up this morning. Take note of your friend who's looking on you. He's there. He's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He will never fail you nor desert you. He won't desert you in the valley. He'll be with you. When I look back to school years, there were a number of friends who I used to have, but some of them turned out not to be true friends. And I've learned that lesson since, that you can have those who are friendly, but they're not the friends you thought they were, and they leave you, they desert you. And it's hard when someone who you thought was a friend proves that they weren't that close friend, and they desert you. Jesus will never leave you. He will not leave you in the valley of affliction. He will not leave you in the valley of suffering for his name's sake. He will not leave you in the last valley. He's with you. He's with you now. He's with you in the future. I think of a certain pastor in Eritrea. He suffered so much. He was placed in a container. He worked for long hours in a hard labour camp, on his own often. The Lord didn't desert him. The Lord was with him, and the Lord will be with you. He's that friend to you. He's a shepherd who will be with you in the last valley. The beloved Saviour, the only hope of heaven, the great King who is so wonderful, so powerful, is with you now. And he'll be with you through every valley. And when the valley of the shadow of death comes, and you feel the darkness, as we already considered in Isaiah 50, coming around you, he'll be there. You may say, well, some believers don't sense him in that valley to begin with, but he'll be there. And you'll know he's there in the end, because you will be comforted right at the end. Oh, he's with you. It may be a very difficult valley for you when you come to the last one. Like Stephen, it may be very painful, but the Lord will be there to help you. Psalm 23 verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, to just receive the comfort of those words this morning. We know those words. We know those words off by heart. Oh, to know those words coming to the soul. Oh, to know those words being applied by the Holy Spirit, and you're resting. The words have sunk into the soul. When that happens, the Spirit is applied. Oh, to know it now, that you might be comforted. Oh, to receive that comfort in my heart. To know that help, that the Lord will be with me. Listen to Spurgeon. This unspeakable, delightful verse has been sung on many a dying bed and has helped to make the dark valley bright. Oh, that we would be helped in the dark valley. Be assured, he'll be there. You don't need to fear that, dear child of God. You see that here. He'll be there. He'll help you. And he'll be there at the end of the journey. You'll know the support of the Lord. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2 and verse 6, we read, his left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. There's the beloved. He's come alongside the bride. There's Christ, the beloved, come alongside his bride, the church. The left hand under the head to support, and the right hand doth embrace. And what we see there is the support of Christ and the assurance of his love. His hand is there to support me. On the other hand, he brings me nearer to his heart to assure me of his love. And precious are those times when we're aware of the hands of Jesus, the hand of support while we're going through the valley. And then another hand that brings us closer, and we're aware of the heart of Jesus, and we're assured of his love. May it be today, dear child of God, you are warmed within. You know the support of Christ, and you know the affection of Christ is towards you. You're assured of his love in the valley, supported by Christ, and assured of his love. It's precious, isn't it? Oh, that I would know it again and again. Oh, that you would know it. The hands of Jesus in the valley. And let me close by saying this. We haven't got time now to go to our second point. We'll come back to this next week. But oh, let me assure you in closing, in that last valley, like you see here, Jesus will be with you, and there will be his hand to support you. And there will be his upper hand to draw you even nearer to his heart, to assure you of his love. Before you are so overwhelmed in the presence of Jesus in heaven, and your heart is so melted, let me assure you, Jesus will draw you nearer to his heart before you die. And in those dying moments, you will be assured of his love. He loves me. and then your heart will be melted. As then you see Jesus in heaven, and you see the nail prints in his hands. Before death, in those dying moments, you will be assured of his love that was displayed at Calvary. And then, as we will consider next week, you'll see the tokens of his love in heaven. He will be with you in the valley. He won't desert you. And then you'll be with him in heaven. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord bless his word.